Okay, mumbles are not going to give us a proper sound registry, okay? So, apparently I have to articulate with excellent diction. Diction. Lots of S's. Perhaps some plosives. Red leather, yellow leather. Lily O'Leary languidly lulls on a light sculling launch.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
Welcome to the show. We've got Chris Emery here. This is your second or third appearance on the show? Second appearance?
Third appearance.
Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone knows this. Chris Emery, he's an improviser, a sketch artist, also the curator of the Crayola operations at Crayola Corporation.
I'm the one that came up with cyan.
Oh, good.
The color cyan.
Nice job.
Thanks.
Nice job.
That's a good color.
Yeah. It is. That is.
It's a type of blue.
It is. It's 1/4 of the for print press. CMYK. That's what. Okay.
It won the Cyan ribbon.
Cy Young Award. Wait. Oh, getting ahead of myself. Jordan Gannon. Thanks for being here, Jordan.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Jordan Gannon, also an improviser here, a stand-up comedian. He does it all. He also is. He's handsome, again. I'll say it again. Look at that. But he also invented the term, what's up? I don't know if you knew that. What's up?
What's up?
Man, so cool hearing that from you.
Thanks. I just wanted to know, what was up?
You know. Well, next to you, we have Jesse Jones. He's on this show all the time. He's also a sketcher, improviser. He owns Skechers.
Yeah.
He's also...
Kids.
He also murders grandparents. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, I mean, sometimes I get the timing right, and sometimes I don't.
Very good. Thank you. And at the end, we have a guy that this may be the longest drought between performances. You were on, I believe, our second episode, Corky McDonald. Or first. Was he on the first?
Yeah, I was on the first one, and first, then the just never asked back.
Well... Here's why. No, I don't know. Thank you for being here, Corky.
Thank you.
I'm glad we got you back. It's really, I also accidentally unfollowed you on because I just dumped a bunch of followers to make it look like I had a bigger ratio.
Sure, as we all do.
You know what I mean? I didn't, and so are we good?
Well, it depends. I mean, was it an accidental unfollowing that will be remedied by a follow back?
Yes.
Well, then we're very good, John.
Okay, great. Corky, also the inventor of Red Wings workwear.
Yes, Red Wings.
Yeah, the workiest.
I love your products.
Thank you.
Thank you. They were for you. Oh. I made them for Jordan.
All right.
Not the boots.
Let's play Stab. First segment... called This Was Today Once. We're going to start with Chris Emery. On this date, 1886, Dr. John Pemberton brews the first batch of Coca-Cola in a backyard in Atlanta, Georgia. Also on this very date, 1967, John Popper, American singer and songwriter, harmonica player of the Blues Travel, was born. How did you celebrate these events today in tandem?
Well, I'm a regular soda popper. That's the term for when you celebrate both of these things on one day. First off, I start the day by putting on my homemade fat suit to resemble a 1992 John Popper. He was still fat, obesely fat. And then I fill that suit with 100% pure American brewed Coca-Cola, essentially turning the fat suit into a giant cola-filled camel pack. As I drink from the fat suit, it begins to shrink, signifying the incredible weight loss transformation achieved by Blues Traveler frontman himself, John Popper. on the hour, every hour, I play the harmonica solo from the hit 90s song Runaround on a harmonica fashioned out of old Coke bottles. By the end of day, and as the last drop of sweet cola is slurped from my suit, I finally resemble the flappy, loose-skinned, monster-like John Popper we all know and love today. That's the end.
Well, thank you.
Jordan Gagnon.
On this day, 1876, Cy Young, American baseball player and manager, was born. Also on this date, 1986, Yoo So-young, real name, South Korean actress and model, was born. How did you recognize their births?
Well, John, today is also Palm Sunday, year of our Lord 2015, which is also known as Yoo Sunday.
I didn't know that.
Did you know that?
Yeah. I did not see that on Wikipedia.
No. U branch. Okay. Yeah. So while I did intend to celebrate the birth of Cy Young and Yoo So-young at the Young So-young convention, not to be confused with the Yoo Sut-sun Cy So-young Sun Con, otherwise known as the Yuba Sutter Sunday Cycle Social. and I am, by the way, lucky I did not attend the Young So Young convention, because I was not apprised of what that would be. It's a NAMBLA convention, I think. In any case, I spent my day, as one should, in proper worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus H. Christ.
Right.
Who on this day, some 2,000 years ago approximately, was, as you know, welcomed into the city of Jerusalem,
right.
Riding on an ass. Riding over palms laid in his honor. At my church, this celebration is known as the Yoo for Sun, Ya Sun, Ye Ta Sa, Yoo Crew. Okay. Or in full, Yoo Sunday for Yahweh's Son Yeshua to Save You Crucifixion.
Very good. Was that it?
Yeah, that's okay.
Thank you. Very good. Moving on down the line, Jesse Jones, playing third fiddle. On this date, 1945, Willem Ruis, Dutch game show host, was born. Also on this very day, D-A-Y-E is how I spelled it on accident, 1973, Vietnam War. The United States combat soldiers leave South Vietnam. And you did what?
All right, thank you, Johnny, and welcome to everybody's favorite podcast game show, Pick Your Poison. Our next contestant is John Ross. He's a stand-up comedian and father of three from Sacramento, California. Let's hear it for John, everybody. Woo!
My kids are here.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Okay. It's very, very family-oriented of you. All right, John, you ready to play Pick Your Poison?
Let's play.
All right. That's great. So have you seen Pick Your Poison before?
No.
No. All right. Well, then here's how it works. And for the studio audience, who may not have seen it either, I'm going to give you three choices for which response to this prompt you get to hear. You'll choose from the one that you'll choose the one that you think is going to be the best, and I'll read it to you. It's as simple as that. You got it, John?
Yes, sir.
All right. So let's see your choices. I've got three envelopes right here, John. They're marked, as everyone can see, with letters A, B, or C. They're all three identical in every other way otherwise. And just by looking at them, there's no telling which one might be more or less funny than any of the others. So it's up to you, John, to pick your poison. Nobody's okay.
Hey!
It's a new game show. It's hard to start the chance.
I'm going
to
pick A.
All right. A. You've chosen A, yes? Yeah. That's your pick, then?
Yep.
All right. Well, let's see what's in envelope A. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a Zonko, John. Envelope A contains a Zonko. Well, that's just how the game works. But you know what? I like you, John. So I'm going to give you another choice. What do you think about that, audience, huh?
Yeah! What should I pick? Big money. What should I pick?
B or C? Which are you going to choose?
What should I pick?
C.
C.
C? Well, audience says C. You're going with the audience, huh? All right. Let's take a look. Oh, it's a buzzy. Buzz, buzz, goes the buzzy. Sorry about that, John. Oh, that's tough. But you know what, audience? You want to see what John didn't pick?
Yeah!
All right, let's see what's inside envelope B. Oh, it's the whammer. Oh, wham, whammy. Oh, the whammer. Oh, so sorry. But you see, that's just how the game works. Just like the war in Vietnam. Pick poison is an unwinnable exercise in futility, which only results in sadness and more questions than answers. And it looks like that's all the time we have for this week's episode. So one more time, this has been Jesse Jones with Pick Your Poison. Hey, don't forget to separate your recycling, and why not call your mom? She'd be glad you did. Good night, everybody.
Well, that segment isn't over yet.
Nope.
lastly, we have Corky McDonald at the end of the stage. Corky, on this day, 1918, Sam Walton, American businessman, founded Walmart and Sam's Club. It was when he was born. This date, 2005, Johnny Cochran, American lawyer who famously defended O.J. Simpson, passed away. What did you do to celebrate the aforementioned events?
Well, being from Northern California, I combine these holidays, as is the custom of our people. And it was tough for us today because I was up all last night stuffing little black gloves with racially charged literature. Okay. And handing them out to 12 pre-selected neighbors. I restructured my daughter's chore list this morning, so now that they only do 15 minutes of chores at a time, every other hour all day, so I can avoid paying them the minimum legal amount. I can pay them, which is zero because I'm their dad. I then refuse them any medical or dental coverage, all while being shirtless with a thong pulled up over my skin-colored yoga pants. Celebrating the traditional Walmart shopper.
Okay. I was wondering where.
The girls then opened up their paternity stockings, proving I'm not their father, which symbolizes the faultiness of DNA evidence. And then we went to the refrigerator and flung Minute Maid around the room, the ceremonial freeing of the OJ.
Very good, very good. That was the day. This was the day. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. This next segment is called Reorganization. Take this. This is actually a fan favorite. I don't know if you knew that. Reorganization. This is take this existing acronym and reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? Today's acronym, RSVP. We're going to start with Chris Emery. What does RSVP now represent?
RSVP now stands for Resting Sinister Vaginal Pucker. Much like Resting Bitch Face, Resting Sinister Vaginal Pucker is a condition where when a woman's vagina at rest, not in any sort of activity, looks like a sinister predator-type monster, scaring the people that come near it.
Sure.
It's a real condition.
Is it a real condition?
Serious. Yeah, it's really serious.
You can't, it does not happen during Kegels.
No, okay. Just at rest. No okay. activity.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chris Emery. Jordan Gannon, you guys can clap for Chris if you want. I thought that was funny. Jordan Gannon, sorry to keep doing that. RSVP, what does it mean to you, buddy?
I don't know. Well, it's Palm Sunday, 2015.
Correct.
Year of our Lord. So it's very appropriate that I mention to you the group Returning Savior, Very Probable. It's a rap rock group that serves to spread the very important message that our Lord and Savior, Jesus H. Christ, will be returning probably. Given great credit for expressing very human doubt by such liberal rags as the New York Times and banned from real Christian publications, it's RSVP time. They've got such hits as their self-titled album, RSVP, with hit single RSVP. Yo, Lord, it's been so long, when you gonna come back? Does Jesus need to RSVP? He sent us the invite. That's why we need the RSVP. They're equivocating on RSVP. It's just terrible. Raise your hands in the air with very real doubt, but send him your Pascal's wager worth of love. RSVP. Also featuring tracks like I Left My iPhone Charger in Heaven and Sleeping, parentheses, I've got motion sensors in case you come like a thief in the night, end parentheses.
Very good, Jordan. Thank you very much. RSVP. Uncle Jesse Jones, let's hear RSVP, what it means to you.
Well, RSVP is the third highest honor achievable by a non-nobleman peddler, monger, marketeer, outcrier, or merchant. That of being a royally sanctioned velocipede purveyor. The velocipede, as you may know, most popular as the giant wheel in front with the tiny wheel in the back, one of the forefronters of the modern bicycle. Due to the stringent regulations placed upon the manufacture and distribution of velocipedes within the Sovereign Kingdom and its outlying colonies, royal sanction is required for any and all velocipede transactionary. These acknowledged purveyors are rigorously screened and thoroughly tested on their knowledge of velocipede maintenance, proper velocipedal locomotion, and the do's and don'ts of velocipede accident reporting. Anyone caught attempting to vend velocipedes without sanction are held within the castle's confines until their stock of velocipedes can be melted down and hand-hammered by the realm's finest smiths into the guillotines, which will carry out their summary executions at the hands of a fully licensed rag or royally accredited guillotinist.
Very good, Jesse Jones. Very good, Jesse Jones. Right down there on the end, we got Corky McDowell. What does RSVP mean to you?
Well, RSVP is an acronym now used to describe a specific person, a remodeled scrotum vagina person. So if you see someone walking down the street and someone says, hey, there's an RSVP or a Rizzy Vipper, you know that that person has had their scrotum remodeled to be a vagina. Okay. Because nowadays, this extra literal acronym describes male to female sex change recipients. Because all other adjectives, he, she, tranny, shim, are all just horrible to use. Right. So you want to use something polite, but the only way to avoid it being horrible is to graphically describe what happens in the sex change operation. Remodeling a scrotum into a vagina and call that person a Rizzy Vipper.
Rizzy Vipper.
Rizzy Vipper.
Write it down, everyone. That's the new politically correct term. Rizzy Vipper. All right. This next segment is called the Top 5 Google Searches of. Please, all of you, please have written the top 5 Google searches from the co-pilot of Germanwings Flight 9525.
That's the appropriate reaction.
Yeah. It's kind of a rule of the show is if we feel bad after writing it down, we keep it. So it goes in. So we're going to start. Everyone do one at a time, and then we'll alternate between each top 5 Google searches of co-pilot of Germanwings Flight 9525.
This was one of the searches.
Okay.
Do all Germans go to hell even if you're not a Nazi?
Most cowardly way to kill 150 people.
Oh, serious. Serious war.
Jeffrey Dahmer's favorite gingerbread cookie recipes?
Quickest route to the base of the Alps.
And number 2. Wait a second. Just so you guys know, this podcast has like a 3-week delay, so it won't be too soon when the podcast is released. Just let you know. Okay, Chris.
Best bartender recipe for the perfect kamikaze.
Leben und sterben lassen. Live and let die. By Paul McCartney and Wings.
German Wings.
Charles Manson's most thoughtful mixtape gifts.
Funniest German pranks.
Okay. Number three.
Free download 1993 film Alive.
What will get media attention on most morbid of speculation on randomness of human existence?
Another serious one.
Osama bin Laden's lolcat collection.
YouTube.com karaoke version Dave Matthews Band Crash Into Me.
Number four.
DIY door lock.
Das Episode der Wings mit Norm von Cheers.
Adolf Hitler's most romantic poems to Eva Braun.
How to trademark Lubitz in pieces. It's his last name.
Thank you. I was laughing. I didn't know why. And number five, everyone bring it home.
The standard one, Heidi Klum feet.
Is that also yours, Jordan?
That was mine, no. Let's see. Is this going to be forever? Oh. I have not. I've got too many that are garbage. I have nothing. I'm sorry.
It's been fun following you, Jordan.
Beef.
Good froyo in the French Alps.
What does pushing controls forward really hard do?
That was the top five Google searches of This Is Still Stab. This next segment is called Movie Makeup. Here are some movie titles we made up. Please give the synopsis based off the provided titles with the cast. These can be any genre you choose. I don't need to read that part. Chris Emery, you were given Your Place or Mime. Gannon, you were given Stamp Tamper. Corky, you were given Pancake Point Blank. Jesse Jones, you were given Vase Off. We're going to start with Chris Emery. Give us a synopsis of Your Place or Mime.
In this romantic comedy, deaf real estate agent Carrie Leibowitz, played by Kate Hudson, is struggling to find a balance between work and love. When all of a sudden, she meets homeless but charismatic street performer Mime, played by Michael Cera. Hilarity ensues as Hudson and Cera awkwardly try to make the relationship work through movement, laughter, and real estate. They'll show you who wears the pants of mine in this relationship.
Very good. I actually want to see that movie. Jordan Gannon, hit us with Stamp Tamper. Stamp Tamper.
This Palm Sunday, come check out the story of Stampy. This Pixar film, which is set in the post office of a small town in the rural South, presents a gritty take on race relations in America as a stamp tamper known simply as Stampy, voiced heroically by Michael Clark Duncan, faces retirement and the elimination of his position altogether by mechanization in an indifferent world. As he faces the next phase of his life, Stampy must come to terms with the fact that everything that once brought him meaning no longer exists. Recognizing that he'll never be able to use the money he was promised from his pension, and his young ward, a letter opener voiced by Raven Simone, will disown the heritage he sought to impart on her, Stampy faces the grim reality of death just as steadfastly as he validated stamps his entire life. This film does not soften its grip at any point, and in fact makes its point repeatedly, again and again.
Very good, Stamp Chamber. Like the retroactive use of Michael Clark Duncan's dead voice. That's good. You know he's dead, right? Okay, yeah, you know he's dead. Raven Simone's still alive, though.
Yeah.
Despite the hoaxes. Jesse Jones, Vase Off.
This is sort of where the condition of my voice actually pays off.
Okay, good.
It works for this read. Vase Off, Int Motion Picture Villman. Meet action, sure. Und adventure, yeah. Depiction, auto pursuitement, mint explosion, boomy boom. Pistol shoot. Auto und semi-automatica machine gun. Granate explosion. Scimitar duel. Foxy lady fight. Nude. Semi-nude. Tasteful penetration. Protagonist. Ein Antagonist. Conflict. Escalation. Sure. Vases. They came in auf. Vistikuf exchange. Speedboat pursuit him on. Yeah. Antagonist eat protagonist vase. Eat vase. Will man conclude when antagonist lose vase alp inside foxy lady? Tasteful, sure. Protagonist Dustin Hoffman. Antagonist black comedy man Sinbad. Vase Alf rated zine. Mit action sure. Und adventure ja. Und lady penetration tasteful ja.
Corky. Corky McDonald, let's hear your synopsis of the movie Pancake Point Break. Blake, blank. Pancake Point Blank. There we are.
Christoph Waltz is Gregory Pancake. He's a fading star in the culinary world. He's seen and done everything the world's most famous breakfast confectioner can. He longs for one last taste of sweet, syrupy action. Shia LaBeouf is Marvin Point Blank, and he's a hitman on the rise. He's laying waste to the competition and hungers for the big time. His next contract might just serve him a sweet stack of stardom. Two men on a collision course of gastronomically gun-fueled proportions, famous for things nobody should be famous for. Who wins? Who loses? Can they set aside their differences to beat the rich kids at Smithington Dollar Sign Money Coin Summer Camp Crepe Off? Pancake Point Blank coming this summer. Batter up.
This next segment is called Write an Irate Poem About It, which is our last segment of the 48-hour marathon version of Stab. All right. I don't know why he's clapping. Seems like he's being a dick about it. No, I'm kidding. It's like, yeah, fucking over. It's like, get some sleep. Robert, it's time for school, Robert.
Robert.
All right. This segment's called Write an Irate Poem About It. Chris Emery, you were given the subject, Bullying Brunettes.
bullying brunettes. Please have written a poem in regards to bullying brunettes.
Hey, you, stop it. Don't you think brunettes have it hard enough making up over 82% of the population? That's all I have.
Very good.
I didn't know it was supposed to be a poem.
Oh.
To be fair, it does only say
write an irate about it. Oh. Spell check. Well, not even spell check.
just proofreading.
Did anyone write a poem?
I talked to Jesse and found out it was supposed to be a poem.
Okay. I apologize. Write an irate about it. If it rhymes, that's a bonus. Jordan Gannon, the subject you were given to write an irate about. Your parents' relationship with one another.
Actually, it reads your patrons' relationship with one another.
You're right. Your pat.
Which is the third person plural present active subjunctive of patro.
Yeah.
Which in Latin is the word for to bring about.
Or to okay. Or which works.
To ejaculate. Yeah, so it
actually works.
Yeah, which is fitting, yes.
Yeah.
Given my parents' many attempts to procreate in order to bring more life, more human children to be saved by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, they would bring about more children, but her barren soil is a wasteland for my fertile seed. He exclaims at the dinner table. What do you think of that, young Jordan? Do not hide behind pretense of not understanding human biology or what my badgering means. Oh, thank you, Dad, for forcing me to parse words well into the night, making me translate who's the boss into Latin. Or cuius est magister. It's not going to make your marriage any better. I've got something for you to parse. Or how about, you know, he's right. I am barren, but he should have pity on me, not berate me with curses. The Lord has cursed me enough with his cursed body. My cursed body, it is my fault. It miscarries the children because we are not safe here in this family.
Oh my God.
It's not his fault. I should be stronger. It's my fault. I should feel, I feel weak and unsafe. Going back between the father and the mother character.
Right.
I feel weak and unsafe, notwithstanding the coming of our Lord and Savior, probably.
Very good. Jordan
Very good.
Jesse Jones, I'm going to read this to make sure I wrote it correctly. I'm going through a lot of stress, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Jesse Jones, please have written an irate poem in regards to the first person you ever that ever made fun of you.
Sure.
The first person that ever made fun of you.
Well, I found this prop extremely difficult to wrap my mind around, Jonathan. You see, I've been over 6 feet tall since I was probably 14 or so. Before, during, and after junior high and high school, I was very athletic, playing varying degrees of football, basketball, and roller hockey. Given these facts, I was not made fun of growing up.
Oh.
Still today, I tend to excel in most aspects of my life. Immediately becoming proficient, even prodigious, in everything I attempt with little effort. This whole paragraph, for example, came to me in a vision, fully formed while I brushed my mighty steed, Spirit Force Triumphants, at my ranch for rescue show ponies. Which just this last fall I donated to St. Christoph's Mission for Quadruple Sense Deprived Inner City Youths. For those that don't know, quadruple sense deprivation means that every one of these children only have the use of one of their five senses. Some can only taste, some just touch. Many only have the use of their sense of smell, which is why rescue ponies are so important to them. Because no matter what sense they have left, all of them can interact with these proud stallions in some way. I digress, though. The point is that the next person to ever make fun of me will, in fact, be the first person to ever make fun of me. But I struggle to imagine what they could even make fun of. My total ease and contentment with my place in the vast cosmic landscape. My generosity of spirit and willingness to put the needs of others above my own, even to my own detriment? Or perhaps my enormous genitalia? Which would not at all look out of place gracefully bobbing below any of the majestic rescue show ponies. Cat about my ranch being seen, heard, touched, smelled, or tasted individually at any one time. So you see, I have no one or no thing to irate against. I wake up every morning with a smile on my face and float off to blissful sleep every night, knowing that the world's a better place for me having lived another day in it. Irate. I'm sorry, John, but that's just not me. So, hey, who wants ice cream? My treat.
Jesse Jones. Corky McDonald, bring us home like you do.
My irate poem is called What It's Like to Raise Daughters.
Right.
Emotions. You're still crying about Zane, huh? You're wearing something over that. Honey, that boy is lying to you. Oh, hey, more emotions. You guys are friends again? I thought you guys hated each other yesterday. Those shorts are too high. That top's too low. Did I just fucking say the word top to mean shirt? You know, you can turn those emotions off anytime, you know. Well, shout. Shout, 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 shout is the only way those bloodstains are gonna come out.
And that was Scab. That was Corky McDonald. That was also Jesse Jones. You know who else it was? Jordan Gannon. And Chris Emery. Thank you for coming to Scab. Please check us out, scab4gold.com, or check us out on iTunes. We have 20 episodes up on iTunes right now, or you can also tweet at Scab Show. Thank you guys.